I don't think it's purposeful for me to talk about it. Let's just say it was much too much work. As the series went on, it became harder and harder to do. And it was just too much work. I suggested to them 3 years ago to tear the whole thing down and to rebuild it. I didn't hold it was a good piece of work. It should be restructured, redone, totally revamped. The English one. I said, the Hebrew, you're Israeli, I don't understand your culture. You think this is a good work? Fine. You think kids will go for these stories? Fine. I said, no American kid is going to go for these stories. No English, no self-respecting English family would, like, not snicker at those stories, if you ever read the stories. They're not inspiring stories. I don't know. They're not inspiring stories to an American, to an English-speaking kid. Maybe to your kids. Very good. I'm very proud of you. Your kids are Israelis. Congratulations. Okay. I told them to take a hiatus for a year, and we'll totally rewrite the whole thing. They didn't want. So we stopped after the fourth. We stopped. So we'll see. Maybe they found someone to do number five. Okay, let's do Kodesh HaLovos. Kodesh HaLovos, Tuesday night. Shara Bodas HaLokim. We're actually up to Perek Sheni. He's going to explain in this perek. I don't know. The first sentence says l'chol chelik mechelkei ha'ara, but really the whole perek concerns itself with the necessity for ha'ara toranis. If you remember, we learned yesterday that really, logically, because although this view of Yiddishkeit and of it is very different than what they teach now. Very different than what kids are taught in school. Maybe it's the nature of school, maybe it's the nature of society. We're very ritual oriented. This whole picture of a Jew, really of an Oved Hashem, is very different than what life seems to consist of. It's our fault also, because we don't do the things that Chavis HaLovos says to do. We are guilty of, you know, just relying on the rituals and then getting on with life and paying, you know, we pay our dues by doing the rituals. Chavis HaLovos' view is that Yiddishkeit is rational, extremely rational and seicheldik. Avodas Hashem consists of gratitude and being aware of Hashem and acknowledging Hashem and thanking Hashem and being aware of Him and Oei Vira Bitachon, just living with Hashem. I added yesterday, and I'm confident that it's because Avodas doesn't say it. Like, you know, think of everybody as being like Avraham Avinu. You're aware of Hashem. You discover Hashem. Your heart overflows with love and gratitude. And you would, you would even be Moser Nefesh for Hashem if someone wanted you to deny that He exists. Like Avraham Avinu was willing to be thrown into the furnace. If you think about it, like there was no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, but it was such a reality by him, Hashem's existence, that when he was like demanded of him to deny that existence and to deny Hashem, he let himself be killed. Like he has no reason to live. He doesn't want to live. He doesn't want to live if he has to officially, like Rishmi, deny Hashem. It wasn't like in the corner, you know. It was probably going to be the headlines of the next day's newspapers, you know, Nimrod. He had made a name for himself, Avraham Avinu. He was going around darshaning, you know. So he was, okay, anyway. So the Chazal wants everybody to be like Avraham Avinu. To which I add that realized that Avraham Avinu Grada came up with the mitzvahs, with the Taryag mitzvahs. And that's logical. That has a logic in itself, in that the Taryag mitzvahs are the best expression of how a Jew should feel. Like, you know, Taka, Hashem picked the right methodologies for expressing our hergeshim. besides the fact that they're rituals. But the Chavetz Chaim doesn't look at it that way. The Chavetz Chaim doesn't talk about that angle of the mitzvahs. He looks at the mitzvahs as ritual, and the ritual is supposed to inspire emotions. You know, if you wear tefillin, so then you're supposed to think about what tefillin means, and the real purpose of tefillin is the second level. That was what he said. In, so that's Torah. So a person should be like Avraham Avinu, but it's not going to happen. He said in Perek Aleph, we learned it last night. It's not going to happen. A person's not built that way. So he needs to be taught and inspired and urged and taught, really taught. The beginning was taught how to relate to Hashem. And then there's two ways. There's Ha'orah Sichlis, to taught, to have gratitude, to love, to bond, to feel Hashem's existence, to realize how great He is, to realize how unbelievable it is that He takes an interest in us, and you know, just overflowing with thanks and acknowledgement and halel and hodah, etc., etc., etc. And then there's Ha'orah Toranis, which is the rituals. The Torah set up certain guidelines. Do this on Shabbos, do that, don't do this. Really, Shabbos should consist of, you know, just like, wow, Hashem made the world. Like, wow. But then, you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to move muktzah, you're not allowed to do this. And like, you know. So, then Perek Sheni says, why? Why did Hashem make the mitzvahs? Why is there Ha'orah Toranis? Why? Well, what's the need for it? Why don't you just do Ha'orah Sichlis? Wonderful. That's what Perek Aleph says. Avalechach. So although the first sentence I don't quite understand, because the whole Perek consists of the explanation of the necessity for Ha'orah Toranis. Avalechach, maybe the Cholchelik mechalkei Ha'orah. Maybe he means Ha'orah Toranis. Who, kivin she'orah anutzu b'seichel, because your inspiration to be Oved Hashem and to bond with Hashem, that's only a product of your rational thought without the obedience school level of do this, don't do this, nechleshes mishlosho fanim. And that's the parrot. Three major weaknesses, three major problems that will ensue if we just let people, you know, go with Ha'orah Sichlis. Yesorech lechazko beha'orah torosis. Number one, Asher l'shlosh osofanim, ha'echad l'fisha odem nivra midvarim chalukim. A person is made up of different parts. He's going to explain in another line or two that he means the seichel and the guf. Utvoim ha'mezgabrim ze'al ze'. They're in a constant battle, one with the other. That's a chavis al-dodin's view of a person. He says it a few times in the Sefer, is that there's a constant battle between the guf and the seichel. Ba'atzom and negdiyim, opposite forces, v'heim nafsho v'gulcho. L'thikach, and therefore, and Hashem empowers both parts. Now, the Chavetz Chaim is now going to go on to explain why Hashem empowered physical needs, physical desires, physical wants. And they're not there for bad reasons. They're there for good reasons. He will explain in a moment that without that, the world wouldn't exist. No one would get married. A person wouldn't eat, you know, or he wouldn't sleep. You know, if we didn't have the physical needs of food and drink and sleeping and all the physical needs and desires that we have, the world wouldn't function. So Hashem had to implant within us Hashem implanted in us those physical needs and desires and wants and, you know, tithes in order that the world should function and that the person should be healthy, or else a person would not eat and not sleep. Sounds familiar? Not eat and not sleep, and it would break down his body, or the human race wouldn't propagate. It's a pain in the neck to have a wife and kids. But Hashem gave us a desire, a taiva, and therefore that's the outlet for the taiva, so that the world should be propagated, that the world should, that the human race should continue. L'figach nata ha'boreas ala b'nav shal midas v'kochol shabhem yishtokek l'dvorim shekesher yishtamish b'mo adam. So it is physical, and it is chumri, but Hashem did it for like a good reason. His patech bam gufo, therefore he'll be healthy. His mind will tell him, his guf will tell him, I am hungry, it's time to eat. I am thirsty, it's time to drink. I am tired, it's time to sleep and get refreshed. Right? The Yeshur Haminu Anushi Kemoshehu, the human race will continue. Bavo Bisha Protov Nifsadim, people are dying all the time. But the human race is continuing because people are being born. I mean, to give you an idea, when I say it's a pain in the neck to have a wife, and everybody laughed, but it's not for nothing that that's the strongest drive a person has. Right? The strongest drive is the sex drive. And so you see that Hashem had to give us that strongest desire, or else, like, what do I need it for? What do I need this whole business for? Like, it's just a pain in the neck. Right? So, you see, it's the strongest desire. The people don't use it correctly. It has to be balanced with the seichel. That's what he's about to say. So the taiva itself is a very important yesod. It's a very fundamental yesod, and it's a very important yesod. Everything Hashem made is good, and we not just good. We shouldn't think of it only as a nisayon that Hashem gave us these physical needs and desires and wants and taivas in order that we overcome them. So the others are saying, no. They're there because they are binyan olam. They are for that. They give the person health. His need for sleep and eating that healthy, and it's for the human race. It's for that the world should function. The Yeshur, it's really a Gemara. The Gemara with the Churban Abayis, they wanted to not get married anymore. The Yeshur Haminu Anushi Kamo Shehu Vavu Bisha Protov Nifsadim Vamida Azosi Hataiva Lanos Agufnius Vikolos Komine Balechaim Amitpatchem. Every living creature has these desires. I mean, you can even include plants. I mean, so to speak, plants are thirsty, plants are hungry. They're all the hair kivot haborius ala benefesh or the midos v'kochos. Interestingly enough, Hashem gave a person other kochos that a person doesn't want to live in this world. He wants a bond with Hashem. This world is like every also very, very fundamental yesod. Certainly in Tanya we're learning this, that the nefesh is there, or he calls it the seichel here, and the seichel is disgusted and repelled by the waste of time and the silly, pointless aspects of Olam Hazeh and of Taivas. And like, the seichel in the Chavit HaDomus' picture, the seichel like wants to commit suicide, just get out of this world and go back to Hashem. Shebem yishtokek l'dvorim shekeshe yishtamesh behem. Yemois is his yonei ha'olam. That's a yeshor is b'olam hazeh. The yachbos liparad bimenu. He wants to get out of this silly, transient, temporary, pointless, no tachlistic world, and go to the to the nitzvias of bonding with Hashem. The zuyah korah nechona. So you have this clash. Now, let's say you have two teams, two basketball teams playing each other. And we said that Team A gets to be on the court for 15 minutes before Team B comes. So who's going to win the game? Right? If Team A is, okay, you're on the court for 15 minutes till the other team comes. So Hashem says, the taiva gufnius, the first kochos that Hashem gave, Team A, they have the playing field to themselves for years till the seichel develops in a person. So it is really a very, so you're saying, oh, why don't we just trust the seichel and let the seichel develop its understanding of the need to be obeyed Hashem and to be grateful to Hashem and everything. There's no level playing field here, because the taivas agufnius, Team A, has the playing field to themselves for, like, let's call it at least a decade and a half. We'll call it 13 years, let's even call it. We'll charitably call it 13 years, or 12 for a nekeva. Charitably. So that's, if you give the basketball team 12 years on the field, they're going to run up the score. That's what he said. The time is gufnius, v'chimen shanos, ha'gufnius, kodnos, b'nevish, odom, and uro, I'll say from when he's born, That's all he's involved in, is his tithes and his goof things for the first 13 years of his life, and that's being quite charitable, as we all know. You're not dealing with a level playing field. So the taiva in a person is for sure stronger. So you're going to say, I'll leave it up to the seichel. The seichel's a loser from when the game starts. It's like, it's behind. The score's already 200-0 when the seichel comes out onto the field. You can't catch up. What do you want? The figure of Gabra Midas HaTaiva Shomtan Ramazela who both the other Mitchiloso. The Timtimo Hosena, but already it blinds him to the truth, because I want this, I desire that, I need this. Vishchisa Simone Tchulosa Manailos, and it blows away the other team. Team Seichel. Team Taivas blows away Team Seichel. Now, Team Taivas is there for a good reason, he says. But Hashem structured the person that the score is run up. So all you have is taiva for 10 years, 13 years, 15 years, 20 years. I'm like, what do you want from the seichel? What do you want? He's not a magician. What do you want him to do? So the Hashem said, keep Shabbos. You understand Shabbos. I don't care if you understand it, if you don't understand it, if you're inspired by Shabbos, if you're not inspired by Shabbos. You understand that once a week you have to stop working and you have to acknowledge that Hashem is the creator of all and the cause of all. So you stop your work and you acknowledge that Hashem made the world and everything that's in it. I don't care. That's going to take you to catch up to your desires, and you want to have a good time, and you know, Shabbos, I gotta stop and I have to acknowledge Hashem. It's not gonna happen. So there's a Torah, and Hashem says, I don't care where you're holding or where you're not holding, but come Shabbos, you can't go to work, and you can't do malacha, and you have to make kiddush, and you have to sing zmiris, so to speak. You understand what I mean? So that gives a chance for the seichel to work. Now you're forced. Hashem puts you in jail on Shabbos. So you're forced, and now the seichel has a chance to work. If all Shabbos ends up being is jail, then it's bad news. That's what he's saying. But the reason for Ha'orah Torah is, what do we need the malachos for? Just look around Shabbos and look at nature and say, wow, Hashem made this, and I gotta go to work. No, it's once a week I should take off for work and I should look at the sunset and think how Hashem made the world. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. So Hashem says, stop. You can't go to work. I don't care if you like it or not, if you understand it or not, if you're holding there or not, don't go to work. And now it's a person's job to build on the jail that he was put into. Shabbos, just using that as an example, everything's like that. Shabbos, and now you're supposed to build and use Shabbos to get to Ha'orah Siflis. That's the first reason why Hashem made Ha'orah Torah is because Ha'orah Siflis, because the taiva is put out on the field for at least a decade and a half, we'll call it, before the seichel, and it runs up the score. So the seichel doesn't stand a chance. So it needs the framework of Ha'orah Toranis to just catch its breath and to get onto the field, and that it levels the playing field. And now you have to work. Okay.